I played a few bars of Donald Erb's Quintet at my desk the other day, and one of our sportscasters here at WOSU, Thomas Bradley, sort of called out from his office, "Man, that sounds creepy." And I think that's a great introduction for the Ensemble Code and their upcoming show May 18th, courtesy of the Johnstone Fund for New Music, because they're some of the nicest people you can talk to. But this music is also prolifically difficult and sonically challenging for the listener. But who could better present this difficult, challenging music than people who like to talk about coffee, like to talk about their dogs, and can even joke about playing the water glasses for this piece, like in the movie Miss Congeniality? I'm Kylie Harwell Sturgill, and this is Composers Incorporated, a podcast for WOSU Classical 101.
I'm Michael Rene Torres. I'm the executive director of the Columbus, Ohio Discovery Ensemble. I'm also a faculty member in the School of Music at The Ohio State University.
Hi, I'm Justin. I'm one of the founding musicians of Code New Music, Columbus, Ohio Discovery Ensemble. I'm the clarinet player for the group. And I'm also the executive director of Wild Goose Creative.
Wonderful. And so today I'm having you guys in the studio to talk about an upcoming show that's May 18th at the Short North Stage.
Yep.
And tell us a little bit about that. Who's funding it and who came up with the ideas? Who came up with the program? How did that come about?
Well, this concert is a part of the New Music at Short North Stage series that is sponsored by the Johnstone Fund for New Music.
Shout out to Jack and Zoe.
Yeah, they're wonderful. And it sort of came about in two ways. Number one, because a family member of Donald Erb, the composer whose music this concert will feature, the son of Donald Erb, Matt Erb, is a personal friend of Jack Johnstone. And so Jack had this connection, and Erb being an Ohio composer and Columbus Ohio Discovery Ensemble being an organization that really seeks to feature Ohio composers in our community, it felt like a natural fit. So that was the very beginning conversations of where this concert started.
So we started out with four people, which was Mike and me and Carrie and Aaron. But actually on our first concert, we needed more than four musicians. So we brought in some extra people. So we have sort of some core musicians. It used to be the core four. And then we brought in Johnny Mendoza, who's a percussionist. So there are five of us that are sort of the center of the ensemble. But we'll bring in extra people depending on the music and depending on the instrumentation. We have, I don't know, how many people are playing on this show? Five, six?
Oh, it might be seven.
Seven? Seven people total, but not all at the same time. Different combinations of people. And it's the best. It's the best people in town.
Yeah, and we tend to work with the same people over a period of time because we seek out musicians in our own community that are not only outstanding artists in and of themselves, but who believe in contemporary music, playing it, enjoying listening to it, experiencing it. So we have a set group of people who we really enjoy working with.
And who believe in the process, right?
Absolutely.
That it's like, you know, we're sort of, I don't want to say independently presented, well, we are in a way.
Yeah, it seems that way.
I mean, yeah, this particular concert is funded by the Johnstones. But in terms of producing the show, you know, it's a very grassroots thing. So it's people that really have to buy into the process who are not only going to show up to play, but, you know, put in the elbow grease to make the show run.
It doesn't come easily to put on a show, and especially if you're doing something all with local musicians. Mm-hmm. Everyone here has probably three jobs, right?
Yeah.
And that means three different schedules for every single individual. And so I make the joke sometimes on this podcast that, well, people like to eat locally. Why don't we listen locally? And I think you guys are sort of the banner child for that, mm-hmm. of what it looks like to listen locally.
Thank you. there's forte, and then there's fortissimo, and that's where that's supposed to be maxed out. He goes straight for quadruple, just goes for it, and then two bars later says as soft as possible.
When I was investigating Donald Erb and looking for music that really spoke to me to create a program of, what struck me was how, as I was looking through scores, how complex it looks on paper, and rhythmically intricate, and the composites were so tough, but it sounds so improvisational.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds so free.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't think necessarily is resembled from looking at the score.
Is it free at all when you're playing it?
There are times. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah,
there'll be something that says like, do this for 5 seconds, and then this other person do this other thing for about 5 seconds, and then
gotcha.
So you move on.
There's some weird sort of Steve Reich Penderecki directives in there.
Yeah.
Or, okay.
Yeah, very similar to that. Yeah.
Okay.
But the music. I think from a listening perspective, you know, aside from, you know, what it looks like on the page and how from a performer's perspective, as mm-hmm. Justin was saying, how
doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it doesn't.
The
just listening to it, it's really beautiful. It's really dramatic. There mm-hmm. there are these beautiful tone colors and clouds of sound that transform. And as I said before, it feels so improvisational. It feels really fresh mm-hmm. to listen to. It's very exciting music.
I would agree with you. I was listening this morning to Sunlit
Peaks and Dark Valleys.
To Sunlit yeah. Peaks and Dark Valleys. I was listening to that yesterday and this morning. And I know what you mean about this freshness. It's almost, in the way that Debussy could evoke the sea, La Mer, mm-hmm. with the waves and stuff, just with his textures and his harmonies. When you listen to this, I'm seeing peaks and valleys. And then when you even, if you look, you guys sent it to me on Dropbox, so I can even see the amplitude waves. Right? So,
yeah, that's kind of cool.
And what does it look like? It looks like these giant peaks and valleys. And they're so lush in their harmonies that it's really visually pleasing to see it as well. So I want our listeners to just imagine those visualizations as they're listening to it, because harmonically it might be somewhat challenging for some people. You know, it's mm-hmm. not your normal, quote-unquote, normal functional harmony. We're not listening to Bach or Beethoven here. But it still can have the same imagery and the same, like you said, lushness mm-hmm. of something like Debussy.
We just rehearsed this last night.
And how did it go?
Based on the first rehearsal, we decided to add an extra rehearsal. So it's really hard, but it's a blast. We got through 2 out of 3 movements.
Basically, Justin Johnston is an impresario of clarinet. So for somebody like that,
all right, I'll take
to
it.
Say that music is difficult, I think we're really in for a treat.
It's really difficult. I had to practice this, Mike. Before the rehearsal.
So this is a part of our conversation. I actually, this is great. I just got a Facebook message from Matt Erb, the son of Donald Erb.
Hey, Matt.
And he gave a really great quote from his dad. And the quote is, "If I am doing what I want to do with my music, it will have the clarity of classical music, the passion of romanticism, mm-hmm. and the freedom of jazz."
Yeah, I buy that.
Yeah, and that fits exactly mm-hmm. what we were saying. Yeah.
I just got chills.
Yeah, that's direct from Donald Erb.
I liked it because, like, sometimes composers, they talk about their stuff, and it's like, come on, guys, get real.
Yeah.
That's not what it sounds like.
Yeah, no, I read an interview you guys sent to me, and I read this interview, and I'll put it on a link on our blog. He just sounds, like you said, he sounds so real.
Mm-hmm.
He sounds so Ohio.
Donald Erb. Keeps it real.
Donald Erb keeps
that
it real.
That should be the name of the concert.
Yeah.
Keeping it real.
Let's listen to just a snippet of Sunlit Peaks and Dark Valleys.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's also harmonica in that.
Yep, that's right. There's this crazy harmonica, like with trills and stuff.
Yeah.
And Dr. Stablein's playing harmonica.
She's playing mm-hmm. harmonica, yeah.
The pianist plays piano and some prepared piano stuff on the strings, and then harmonica. And she has this harmonica that has like a trill button I've never seen before. It's like a bend button, I didn't know there was a thing.
It's like a Moog harmonica.
It's just a chromatic harmonica.
Yeah, so there's like a little button on the side, and you push it, and it makes the note go up or down a half step.
My gosh, yeah, it's got a pitch bender.
Yeah, so if you need to trill, you play one note and then trill with a button. So,
oh man,
way to go! It says like do this for 5 seconds, and then when you hear the harmonica, it's time to go on.
Some of our listeners might not understand that modern compositions, 20th century, 21st century compositions, it's not all notes. And it's not all just a grand staff with, you know, ledger lines and, mm-hmm. and notes and typical bar lines. Mm-hmm. We get told to do weird things.
Yeah.
So what's the weirdest thing that a piece of music has ever told you to do?
Dress like a Native American.
Are you being serious?
Yeah, I'm being serious. Yeah, it was a composition that was also part performance art, and there were costumes involved. And it was it's a piece about traveling salesmen that would... I don't know how much of this is even going to make it in the podcast.
This is all going in.
Okay, great.
This is too good. Yeah,
no, so it was the largest art installation in the history of the world or something, like according to the score. And it was this giant carnival, and you would walk around, and there'd be different booths. And one of the booths is for clarinet and actor. There's a little scene going on, and it's based on... old-time medicine, traveling medicine salesmen, right, who they're all con artists, and they would be selling ancient Native American medicines. And to prove that they were legit, they would bring these, you know, some side act who is dressed semi-offensively like a Native American.
Oh, my gosh.
And so to answer your question, yeah, dress like a dress in costume.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all heard the bassoon work that requires you to dress like Elvis.
Dead Elvis.
Mm-hmm. So this should not come as any surprise. Michael, have you had anything weird like that for saxophone?
Not to that.
Have you dressed like
extreme.
A construction man?
No, I haven't. No. I mean, you know, there are. I think you know, being a composer myself, I think that putting yourself in the mindset of a composer and in you know 21st century composer, I think we're looking for. Constantly new things, new ways to express mm-hmm. ourselves with the art form. And I mean, you'll find all kinds of new and creative ways of using instruments, mm-hmm. You know, by these modern composers who discover or come up with these new sounds. Oftentimes, you'll have composer performers who discover new sounds on their own instrument mm-hmm. You know, in that way, expand the repertoire and what is possible. But, I mean, yeah, there's crazy things out there, you know. I think there's a Barrio Sequenza for trombone where you have to dress like a clown. So, yeah.
There's a something Opus Zoo, and I'm trying to remember who wrote it.
That sounds familiar.
It might have been Barrio, and it's for Woodwind Quintet, I think. Somebody listening to this is going to know better than me, but...
I think we just had that on Symphony at 7 recently.
Could
we
be.
Had something
yeah,
for
and,
a zoo.
And you make animal sounds, and I think yeah. you dress up like animals. And you play your instrument occasionally, too.
Well, I mean, I think that describes a lot of what musicians and composers are being asked to do right now.
Mm-hmm.
And what people mm-hmm. in the 20th and 21st century are being asked to do. We're asked to have 3 different jobs, to wear 4 different hats, and to do a myriad of things. Charlie Wilmoth called it having multiple tabs open on your computer at once.
Yeah. Yeah.
This concept. And I think we hear that musically. We're asked to see it visually on TV mm-hmm. and now even on stage. And I don't mind it, but I, you know, I'm sure some people might find it distracting or whatnot, but I don't mind it. I think everything's a new experience. So is there going to be anything like that in this program?
You know, there's all kinds of weird and strange and wonderful stuff.
Okay. Is anyone dressing up?
No.
Okay.
No.
Nobody's dressing up.
No. It's an eclectic show that we're going to have, five different pieces. They're all very different, mm-hmm. Different instrumentations. So there's going to be a lot of variety. All the pieces come from different times in Herb's life. Mm-hmm. So you hear a lot of different styles that he's experimenting with. You're gonna get to hear different instrumentation combinations. So mm-hmm. you're gonna hear different sounds you've never heard before, perhaps. I think that one of my favorite parts of Code's concerts is how eclectic our shows are.
Absolutely.
I mean, you come to our show and you will definitely hear something you've never heard before, something that might challenge you, something you might really like, something you might dislike. But certainly you're gonna hear variety.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So. I think it's safe to say, new music at the Short North Stage, which is the name of the series, right? It's Wednesdays. You know, there's 5-6 concerts a year.
Something like that. Yeah.
I'm gonna call it now, best show in town.
And there you have it. That was Justin Johnston of Wild Goose Creative and the Ensemble Code, accompanied by Michael Rene Torres, Executive Director of the Ensemble Code, based here in Columbus, Ohio. I encourage you to come to their concert next week, May 18th at Short North Stage, and enjoy the music put on by the Johnstone Fund for New Music. Thank you so much for listening to Composers Incorporated. I'm Kylie Harwell Sturgill, and this is WOSU Classical 101.